Good evening. Welcome back to Assurance Baptist Church. We're going to sing a song that might be familiar to some of you. Some of you may have never heard it. It's kind of newer in our list. So let's stand and sing The Lion and the Lamb tonight. Familiar, the reckless love of God.
So good.
God this evening. Give the Lord a praise tonight. Let's get around and shake someone's hand tonight. Tell them that you love them.
evening. Let's continue to praise our Lord and Savior by turning to page 529. Page 25, 529, singing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus."
With wings.
strong in the Lord and rejoice, for the victory is yours. So put on the armor the Lord has provided, and place your defense in His unfailing care. Trust Him, for He will be with you in battle, lighting your path to avoid a snare. Be strong, in the Lord, and be of good courage, for He is your guide.
I don't do it often, and I know that a lot of my friends and family tell me that I don't need to do this. I did the worst thing ever. Brother Jacob, I need you to go back to the sound booth and bring my Bible. The preacher doesn't have his Bible. It's like a cardinal sin. I'm out. I'm not saved anymore. I want you to give Brother Chuck, Sister Bev, Sister Jennifer, all of our folks that sing and play instruments there, would you give them a round of applause and just thank you? Thank you very much. I won't list all the praise and worship folks, but tonight, Sister Bethany and Sister Sierra, all those folks that sing praise and worship and help with that. I don't want to miss anybody, but just praise God for those folks using their talents and abilities for the Lord. What about our choir this morning? Weren't they great? Choir's back in session. Amen. Yeah, you can give them a round of applause. That's good. So very thankful for all those folks, and I just want to make sure they know that, but also you guys know that. Speaking of people I'm very thankful for, cleaning teams. There's no cleaning teams tomorrow because tomorrow's Labor Day, and so it would be just kind of weird to labor on Labor Day, and so we're all off. So the church tomorrow, the church offices are closed, so myself, Brother Brandon, Sister Nancy are all off tomorrow. So if you need something, if it's an emergency, you can certainly get a hold of me. Don't bother Brandon or Nancy. Tomorrow, if it's emergency, it's Labor Day. That's what you call the pastor for, all right? You can call me tomorrow or text me. If you can't get a hold of me, the next best thing to do is email me, because the emails come to my phone, so I'll see it at some point, and I will make sure that I respond to you tomorrow. But the church offices will be closed, so if you show up here tomorrow, you'll be here by yourself. All right, so now Friday, we're counting on you to come back. Tuesday, Brandon and I will be here at 8, so if you cleaning team people feel led to, I'm not asking you to, if you feel led to, you can come anytime Tuesday if you feel like that's your ministry and you don't want to miss out on that. We'll gladly let you clean if that's what you want to do, all right? God has been good to us. We could also, our Monday cleaning team is strong. But on Fridays, we could use a couple of folks to help. So if you're off, or if you stay home, or you can help out on Fridays, we start about 9 a.m. It generally on Fridays is a little easier, but it's going to become back to what it was, because next week, not this Wednesday, but the 13th, we start back with our kids choir. So the fellowship hall will go back to neat and clean and things like that on Fridays as well. So if you have time on Fridays and you'd like to come up and you want to help, about 9 a.m. we get started. Generally takes us not even really 2 hours, an hour and a half or so, and many hands make light work. So if you'll come, we'll make sure that we get you in there and involved in the cleaning team. A couple of announcements tonight. We only have 6 verses tonight. And so I told Brother Carter and Brother Brad when I was talking and I said, there's only 6 chapters in Isaiah 20. And they were like, 6 chapters in Isaiah 20? Now, if I got through 6 chapters of Isaiah, we would really be cooking 6 verses in Isaiah 20. So turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 20. We're going to look a little bit in 2 Kings as well. So you can look in 2 Kings as well. Hold your place in Isaiah 20, and also go to 2 Kings. And when you get to 2 Kings, you'll be in chapter 18. So Isaiah 20, 2 Kings 18. A lot of churches do Bible study on Wednesday night. I decided a long time ago to do it on Sunday nights. I used to do it on Wednesday nights. The reason why is because the kids are studying the Awana verses, doing those things. And Wednesday nights, it kind of just after work and it's dark and it just kind of gets hard to keep people's attention when you're going through the burdens of Moab. And people are like, what are you talking about? And so I just do it on Sunday nights. So tonight, we'll probably get finished a little bit early. But let me give you a couple of announcements while you're turning. We are looking forward to this Wednesday. This is really important. This Wednesday, we have one of our last 5 years of praise and worship service leading up to our anniversary, September 17th. And so there's no noon service this Wednesday, okay? No noon service. We want everybody to come. We want to pack this place out. Our Wednesday attendance and Sunday night attendance has been fabulous. Our Sunday school attendance has been fabulous. But we want to pack it out Wednesday. I was told this morning we ran out of parking spots again. And so that's a blessing for us. We've been down in the summertime with vacations and things like that. So we've been down really 45, 50 people. Just everybody rotates. Everybody takes turns missing church. But now we're kind of getting back to that semblance of school and those things. And so this is really important. That Wednesday, we're coming in here together because we're going to show the video, the slideshow of the last 5 years and do all these things. And we're going to do that here because you know we had to move off campus to celebrate our 5th year anniversary because we can't all fit in here. And so we don't have all of our technology there. And so that way we're going to show it. So if you miss it Wednesday, it's not online. We don't do online services Wednesday. So if you miss it, you just missed it. And I told Brother Carter to burn the file because they got to come on Wednesday to see it. No, I want you to be here, okay, and to be a part of that five-year praise and worship service. It's a big deal that, hey, praise God for what he's done and what he's doing, and I'm very excited about that, and so I want you to be here for that. Again, with our anniversary coming up very soon, September 17th, that service is at 10 a.m., so make a note. It's in your bulletin, not 10:30. It's at 10 a.m., and we have our concert going on there with Sold Out first, and then after that, we'll go into our gospel presentation, and we'll go outside and inside, wherever you want to go. Huge building if you were there at Easter. We've got a cornhole tournament. We've got food truck coming. We've got Kona Ice coming. We've got smoked pork coming, macaroni and cheese, coleslaw, sweet tea, lemonade. And everybody that comes brings a dessert. And so we'll have plenty of desserts. So we want to make sure that you know all about that. Very excited about that coming up here. Also want to remind everybody that this week, this Thursday, if you're a Northmont student, Bible study starts at the high school, or at the middle school, but high school students are welcome as well. So Brother Brandon will be there right after school in room 201. You'll go right over, have Bible study. If you need a ride home, transportation is available. We're looking forward to another great year. We call that salt and light of that ministry there, a big school like Northmont. What an opportunity for us. Brother Brandon really drove that thing up. Like I said, we had two or three folks going after COVID. Brother Brandon's got that thing up into double digits, and so praise God for that. And we're continuing to see God bless. Also want to just note again, not until October, but October's not too far away now, is it? The first week of October, Brother Terrell Hudson will be here. He spoke here last summer, but he'll be here for revival. So mark on your calendar the very first week of October. That Sunday morning, we start off with revival with Pastor Terrell Hudson. He was the pastor of Moraine Heights Baptist Church just down the road, about 25, 30 minutes away. And he'll be here all week, Sunday through Wednesday, and we'll have services and we'll have a great time. We've got some theme services, Sunday night, Monday. We have our Young at Hearts ministry doing some things. Tuesday, we have a youth service. And then Wednesdays, Deacons and I, we pretty much came to terms with Wednesday is going to be a missions thing, and we're going to do something for loving missions and those things. And so we're looking forward to that. So I want you to be a part of that revival. And then the week following, we'll begin our two services. We'll begin having two services so that we can, if you saw this morning when everybody's standing up, it looks like there's no seats. There were still a few seats. But if you remind yourself that what you saw in here, there's still 50 people that are out there in the nursery and junior church every week. And so we can't all fit in here. And so we're going to be going to two services, a 9 a.m. service. I did a little bit later because you city folks are not 8 a.m. type of people. And so we'll have a 9 a.m. service, 10 a.m. Sunday school, and then 11 a.m. Late service. And so we're looking forward to that, splitting it up a little bit, giving us some more room and parking. Ladies, there'll be no lines in the restrooms, hopefully, if it's split up right. And I really encourage you, if you are someone who is an early riser, doesn't have kids in junior church, no nursery or junior church at the 9 a.m., but you're like, hey, I just want the word, sing a couple of songs, get out of there, go to Sunday school, and go home, I really encourage you to come to the 9 a.m. service because it will really help us split up. The message is going to be the same, and I really believe this. If you come at 9 a.m. and you don't have another responsibility after Sunday school, you'll really be a blessing to the Lord and to his house until we have that time where God gives us a building that's big enough where we can all come back together again. Okay, so I really want you to consider that if you are able to do that. And then also next week you'll begin to see in the bulletin, the deacons and trustees and I had a meeting yesterday and we're all in agreement. We're going to be making some things happen here with our building and renovating it. And so in the next 6 months, we're going to begin our phase one process. And so you'll see our capital improvements. Everything will be marked out with the price. We're not going to go in debt to do this. And so when the money arrives, we will do it. All right. And so the first part, when we did fill the well, we've got the money. You can feel how hot it is. It's 75 degrees in here. The thermostat's set on 66. And it just doesn't keep up with all these people. Like, it's just 10 degrees higher. And so we need a new HVAC. We have the money for that from Fill the Well. We've also got a couple other projects like windows. If you are able, if you know how to install windows, all the old wood windows in the other side of the building and the nursery are going to be being changed out to vinyl windows with screens. That's been something we want to do. And so if you know how to install those, get with Brother Brandon. And we're going to get a day, and we're going to get those windows installed because we want to do that before winter. We're losing a lot of efficiency over there with that as well. And then, so those are kind of the projects going on. Then we also have a parking lot project that is going to be going on to widen the parking lot and to put an out and an in arrow because you know when you turn in or out of here, it's very narrow. And with those two services, that's something we want to do. We have the money for all that already from Fill the Well. But we're also going to, I'm hoping to start this in January, but we'll see. Phase one has three phases. You'll see it's about $40,000 that we're going to raise outside of our regular tithes and offerings. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing new flooring throughout the entire building. We'll be doing hardwood floors throughout the entire building. The stage will still be carpeted, but it will be a new carpet. And so we'll be making that happen, which means we'll do all new trim throughout the building. We're also going to be painting the entire building, tearing the wallpaper down, painting everything, the doors, and then all of the ceilings as well. The ceilings are different colors in some places, so all those will be being painted. And so we'll be getting this all just put together very nice and clean and just a little bit more contemporary and feel as far as what we're doing here. And then part of that is also $10,000 worth of sound equipment underneath here. The speaker wires are fraying, and there's nothing we can do about it until we can tear the carpet up, because otherwise, once we tear this up, we've got to get in there and do those things. And so we're looking to do some things and digitalize, if that's a word. We're gonna do some more digital things with less cords. It'll make it a lot easier and cleaner for us. And so Brother Carter's kind of pieced that out for us, and we're looking at that. So that's all about $40,000 worth of work, and we want to start that. I believe in keeping the house of the Lord nice and keeping it up to date. And with all of our kids and everything that's going on, we want to make sure that we keep this place looking good when visitors come in. Isn't it good? We had more visitors this morning. Several Sister Hatcher's clients and friends of hers showed up this morning, and some other folks, Junior Church, we had some folks. Our lady that we met, that I met when I was preaching at Bible Baptist Church, Savannah, was back. She's been three out of the last four Sundays, and her daughter, they stayed in there, and she finally stayed, didn't she, for Junior Church, and I'm sure that was a fight, but at least they're still coming, and how you meet people is interesting sometimes. And so I just want to encourage you, what you can do, give to that. Again, we're not going to go in debt for this. We're not taking a loan out. We're not having bake sales or anything like that. We're going to let the people of God do what he does. And as my beloved Kevin Bell says, like I always say to you, God is rich and he loves us. So we can do this, all right? But we want to do that because we want to honor God and make sure. With that, you see the sign. You may have not paid attention to the slides, but no food or drinks in the sanctuary. So we want to get that kind of in your head now, where there's going to be a food and drinks police. If you come in here with food and drinks, this includes coffee. Once we get the new stuff in here, Brother Chuck is the complaints department. So if you want to complain about that, you see him. And then Brother Anthony, Brother Matthew, Brother Todd, Brother Bud, Brother AJ, they are the deputy sheriffs. And so they're going to be walking through and inspecting and seeing who's got what, and they're going to be running. You come up out of here with that. They may even carry a trash can around. I don't know, but we want to make sure we respect the Lord's house that way and take care of it very much. So I do it too. Sometimes I drink coffee while I'm teaching and stuff, but we want to make sure that we're doing really well as far as taking care of what the Lord's blessed us with. Amen. All right, that was a lot, but I only have six verses, so I had to fill the time somehow. Isaiah chapter 20. Let's look in verse 1 here. This is a continuation of last week's burden of Egypt and a little bit of Ethiopia. If you remember last week, we spoke of those African nations, the sons of Ham, the sons of Canaan, Noah's son, where they moved down, the Africans. And we saw all these neighbors surrounding Israel and the judgments that Isaiah was pronouncing upon them because of their great sin and because of being enemies of God's nation. There's a burden here and a judgment against Ethiopia in chapter 20 and also against Egypt. But the largest thing, and at the end of this, I'll do a little application and preaching because I think it's so applicable. At the end of this, you'll see the real message here is for Hezekiah and Judah. It's for Hezekiah and Judah. It's for God's people. Remember, Assyria, Sennacherib, and those folks have already taken the northern kingdom, or they're about to take the northern kingdom. They're in allegiance with them. But the southern kingdom, Judah, Jerusalem, Hezekiah prays, and his petition is answered. We've talked about it. The one angel of the Lord takes out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And so we see this. This prophecy of God, this burden, this judgment upon these nations surrounding. But then we also see that Judah, the main theme here is that Judah should have always been trusting God and not for outside help, not for alliances. Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1, in that year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. This Sargon is Sargon the second. This is historical. Sargon the first. Anybody ever seen the movie The Scorpion King? I've never seen it. But Sargon the first, the great Sargon, Sargon the first is really credited with being the first great emperor of a dynasty in the world history. So this is way back BC. This is the second Sargon, and he wasn't really thought about that much. In the line of Assyrian kings, other than the Bible. Now, I believe some of the reason why they try to get rid of him is because he's the one that's in the Bible. But Tiglath-Pileser is probably his son, we believe. Sargon I is there mentioned. And Shalmaneser, who's in the Bible, is also mentioned. But in history, they don't mention this Sargon. Again, I believe they're trying to erase Bible history more so. But also because he was the weakest and the worst of those dynastic kings. And we're going to see how he's destroyed. I also believe that it's like that because God pronounced the judgment upon him because of his sin against God. So when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it, at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off the loins and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Tartan is the same guy that you're going to see over in 1 Kings or 2 Kings. If you look at 2 Kings 18, same guy. I want to show you how it matches up. Remember, Isaiah's prophesying in this time, the time of Hezekiah, 4 Kings in the book of Isaiah, in that time that he's prophesying. And this one is in the time of Hezekiah. And so you'll see Isaiah throughout if you would read 18 and 19 yourself. Go back and read that in your own time there. But you'll see the same guy here in chapter 18, verse 17, 2 Kings. And it says, and the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fooler's field. What's going to happen is they're going to basically threaten Hezekiah and Judah. They're sending letters to Hezekiah that weren't true from really false prophets. And then Isaiah is going to come in and say, that's not what the Lord said. Here's what the Lord says. And we're going to see that at the end of this chapter. Back in our book of Isaiah here, Isaiah is told in verse 2, this is some weird language. If you're reading your Bible, you'd be like, this is kind of different. At the same time, spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. A lot of the Kentuckians in here walk barefoot when they got to add and subtract. But that's not why Isaiah did it. Isaiah was told, he was literally told to get naked and to take off his shoes to show a humble front before the prideful nations. It is why John the Baptist, Isaiah came in the stead of Elijah. I realize that. But it's why John the Baptist wore what he wore, because he had the bare minimum. He was eating what he ate. He had the bare minimum, a humble attitude before the Savior of the world came into the world, who he said, I'm not worthy to even tie a shoe. We see here he was told and instructed, Isaiah himself, to allegorically against Egypt and Ethiopia to humble himself. He'd been wearing sackcloth, which is a sign of mourning and judgment and warning. He'd been doing that because he's mourning. I mean, how would you like to be the guy that has to tell all your neighbors, God's going to kill you? That's exactly what Isaiah's prophesying. Isaiah's walking around and telling all the neighbors, Egypt and Ethiopia, Syria, hey, God's going to destroy you. Now, some of you don't like your neighbors, but it would still be a hard thing to say. I want you to also realize his nakedness was not total. He was still covering the private portions of his body. He was just walking around. Now, he did this for 3 years. And that 3 years, we see in the next couple of verses, was an impending judgment for 3 years. And 3 years later, the judgment takes place. Ethiopia and Egypt, which we talked about last week, are destroyed. Look at verses 3 and 4. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians' prisoners and the Ethiopians' captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. Isaiah's dress was a sign of the impending judgment, and that 3 years would take later. But God also double talks here, and he says, but the Egyptians and the Ethiopians who would be captured by the Assyrians, remember Assyria, the dynasty, most of modern-day Iraq, most of Iran, it's Mesopotamia, most of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, all of those countries were engulfed by Assyria. And so they're going to be led from Egypt. If you remember the map, they're going to be led to the east, so from over here and led east. And they literally marched them. They made them walk in chains and fetters, completely naked, men and women and children alike. And nakedness in the Old Testament, you remember the story of Noah? We talked about last week, nakedness was an egregious sin to see someone naked. It was an egregiousness. We could learn from that in our world today. Nobody needs to see people's cheeks walking around at Walmart, just saying. But we could learn a lot from that. But there's no shame. Isaiah is the one that says there's coming a day where there is no shame, and we live in that day. But they pulled them around, literally, cruelly treating them, marching them, and taking them as prisoners of war, marching hundreds of miles to the Assyrian kingdom, deporting them from their land. And remember we talked about Egypt being so high and mighty in the history of the world? Even now, we talk about the pyramids. We talked about that last week, that Egypt has been looked to as a power, as a nation, not today, but in this time, historically. But now, look at verse 5 and 6. Other nations really looked to Egypt for their help, and they trusted them, but now they're going to be destroyed. Remember this, who was Hezekiah looking to for help against the Assyrians? He was looking to the Egyptians. He didn't look to God. He looked to the Egyptians and the confederations of those African nations because he wanted their power to help him subdue and keep Assyria at bay. And Judah had been relying on the power of the Egyptians for deliverance instead of the power of God. Go back to 2 Kings for a second. 2 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to look in verse 20. So I told you to hold your place there. Hezekiah thought deliverance from the Assyrians was going to come because he trusted that Egypt was powerful enough. Now, most of you have lived long enough. Some of you younger people might not get it, but remember when we had the Allied powers, Confederate together, World War II, but then also even in the Gulf War. Some of us, some of our church family are Gulf War veterans where they brought together, and so we had maybe Great Britain or we had certain countries come alongside of us. Well, we're kind of that Egypt as the United States. You know, that's one of the things that's going on with the Ukraine-Russian war. The Ukrainians are like, we need your help. You heard Zelensky, their president, begging our president to come and help them fight. And not that I think it's our fight, but they know that there's much more strength in the United States military than in the Ukrainian military. Hezekiah was looking for the Egyptians' military to come and save them, but Hezekiah had a different lot than what we have in America. He had the literal God of all the universe on his side. I believe America once had God on its side, but I'm not sure. We do for this point because he would destroy us if he didn't, but I'm not sure that he's not judging us in different ways right now. In 2 Kings 18, verse 20, we see what Isaiah prophesied. Remember, the Bible is not written chronically, and so chronologically. So what you see in 2 Kings is going on simultaneously with what God's telling Isaiah to prophesy in the book of Isaiah. Here's the prophecy. Here's the fulfillment. In 2 Kings 18, verse 20, thou sayest, but they are but vain words. This is that old Hezekiah said, these people came and said that we're going to die. But Isaiah says, no, they're vain words. I have counsel. He's going to go on and tell him here, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? God speaking here. And he goes on to say, now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hands and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. People had trusted on Egypt like the United States for all these years. And Hezekiah was doing the same thing. When a powerful nation like Assyria was coming against Egypt, he was saying, I'm going to put my trust that their might will stop it. And God's saying, you need to be putting your faith in me that I'll stop it. And then didn't God do that in a miraculous way? It didn't take a foreign army to help Judah. It didn't take anybody else. It took one act of God, one angel of God to come and destroy the entire army that came against them. They said, for in the morning, they were in the evening they were there, and by morning they were all destroyed. Remember that? See how it all lines up, and you just see this power of God. So God tells them, hey, Judah, and this is the message of Isaiah chapter 20, and I just wanted to take time with it this evening. Here's the real message of it. The message to Judah was trust in your God power, not secular power or secular politics. Now here, this is why this makes so much sense for us today. We as people a lot of times put our trust in political powers. Come on. A lot of times we're looking forward to the election because we think the election is going to change it and make everything better for Christians. Now, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I've got some good news and some bad news for you. The bad news is it's probably not going to get better because we live in a time where things are waxing worse and worse, perilous times, according to the Word of God. And even if there is a revival of some sort throughout our nation, it's probably not going to last very long. But the good news is, regardless of what happens in this period of time, we still win. And so we look at this, but here's what I want to, and this is why I kind of wanted to spend some time and didn't move on, even though it's only six verses. I wanted to kind of spend some time in applying this, and I just have a couple of points tonight. But he told Hezekiah to trust in the power of God, not the power of politics or the power of other nations. And here's what I want. I want you tonight, number one, to trust in the power of God to deliver you. Trust in the power of God to deliver you. Even your whole nation, even your family, even your job situation. Trust in the power of God. A lot of times we're looking for outward, we're looking for other sources to fix things, aren't we? Or aren't we? We're looking for other people to come alongside and help. We were talking tonight, a couple of folks tonight. You know, a lot of times people are looking, they want the preacher to help them, but they won't help themselves. Anybody know anybody like that in their life? They always are coming to you, poor mouthing. They're always coming to you saying, I want you to help me, but then you give them advice or you tell them, and then they go back out. You know, the bane of a preacher's existence is when you come and ask me and I give you solid advice and you do the complete opposite, then you have the temerity to come back to me and say, you were right. Well, that's why I'm the preacher. that's why you came and asked me, because you sought my wisdom. I gave you solid, biblical, godly counsel. See, I'm always giving godly counsel, Bible counsel. I'll never tell you anything that's opposed to the Word of God. So if you do what the Word of God says, then the Word of God can't fail. The word of our God shall stand forever. The Word of our God is going to prevail, and not one jot or tittle is going to fade away. Even when heaven and earth shall fade away or pass away, though my Word, God says, will not pass away. But we look for outside places and outside people to bring deliverance to us. Hezekiah should have always been looking to God for deliverance and never trusting in Egypt as his deliverance. If God chose to use Egypt to be the deliverer, that's one thing. But God said, God doesn't need, and that's why Again, I want to make this real to you. That's why God did that. That's why he used one angel to destroy all of them, because he was proving to them, I don't need any of it. And here's the sad thing. We are all like, man, that one angel was awesome. And I've seen these movies and I've seen young people talk about this guy must have been a ninja and all these other things. But the reality of it is God didn't have to use an angel either. God could have just said, zap, you're gone. That's what the power of God is like. The same power that said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same power that God has in destroying enemies or protecting you, right? So I want you to remember this in your life when you look at this. See, this is why it's so good to go through a book of the Bible slowly and go through it and dissect, because there's these little nuggets, and the next time you're reading your Bible or the next somebody brings it up, you know, my hope is that you go back and say, you know, Isaiah 20 tells us we don't have to trust in the election next year. We don't have to trust. I got some news for you, okay? This is a news flash. Now, we're not going to talk about political affiliations or who I like or who I don't like. Doesn't matter. But I'm begging for a day where, no offense to some of our Young at Hearts folks, but I would really like to not have an 80-year-old person as our president at some point in time. It'd be really nice to have, can we get 65? Or, I mean, can we get a 52? I mean, can we get a little, I'm not asking for Obama to come back. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, could we not have somebody that's like, you know, closer to the end than they are, you know, halfway. No offense to any of my Young at Hearts people that are closer to that. We love you. God loves you. I know what I said last week, that I don't want to die for anybody that's had a good run. But I say I also don't want a president that's had a good run. So I don't care who you like. Both the people that are leading both major political parties, they're both too old for my liking. I'm done with both of them. I'm just telling you how I feel. Whether I like one more than the other or not, it's not really important to me, but I'm done with all that. Can we get somebody that was born, you know, at least in the 50s? Daggone. I mean, jeez, we talking about people that was born like when the Ice Age was going on. I mean, all the people that's above 80 or close to 80 here, they mad at me right now. Granny ain't never sewn another suit. I'm wearing another suit that Granny sewed up. This is the one that I went to preach at Nathan Woodward's church, and I didn't know there was a hole in the pocket. And I went and put my stuff in my pocket, and it fell out right in front of all the people. And I was like, all the people in that church were probably, they were pocketing me money and stuff like that. I was like, the people in the church don't pay him nothing, bro. It was embarrassing. Chandra was sitting over there. She was like, oh, my Lord. I didn't know. Granny rectified that. I could wear my black suit again. Praise be to God. Yeah, y'all should have seen it. I was up there. I was all excited, you know. You're the guest preacher. Everybody's all nice to you. I said, hey, good morning. You know, and you're like nervous. You have nothing to say. I'm like, I guess there's a hole in my pocket. I didn't know. You know, and Chandra was like, oh, Lord. I promise you, people were walking out like, preacher, do you need some new pants? I was like, it was embarrassing. But anyway, I want you to have deliverance, that your deliverance, the power of deliverance comes from God. But then I want you to really gather this. Look back there in Isaiah chapter 20, that last verse, verse 6. And the inhabitant of this isle shall say in that day, behold, the isle here just means a place, a quadrant, probably a coastal place. Such is our expectation. Whither we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape? So we know how we're delivered, okay? We know how we're brought from something. But I also want you to see the power of God. Number two, the power of God. Trust in the power of God for escape. Delivery and escape are different. They're different. If God wanted to use that word, he would have used it twice, but he used different words. Here's how it's different. To be delivered from something is to be set free, right? Or even delivery can be to be given something. If something is delivered unto you, right? If you have a pizza, delivered. That's something that's being brought, and the reason why it's delivered is because it's coming from one place and going to another, and ultimately it's going to be delivered to my tummy. Come on now. But escape is different. The power of escape is different, because when we escape something, the actual word, escape, Miss Dory said, if you don't know that, you don't know. If you don't know Nemo, you don't know what I'm talking about. But the power of escape is different, because escape means total, completely away or free of something. When you're delivered, you can be delivered for a time, but then be recaptured. When you're delivered, it can go from time to time, and it's not all the way completely done. But when there's escape, when you've completely escaped, it's over. I don't remember her name, and it's not really that important, but remember up in Cleveland maybe 10 years ago where the young lady had been a trapped woman, and the guy was just living in the neighborhood, and the neighbors were out, and you know, it's a meme now because the guy that came out and told the stories, he's like, it's hot out there, and he's telling stories, y'all got no Gatorade or nothing for me? I was outside, you know, we were playing salsa music, if you remember that meme. But this lady, and there were other ladies in that house, and she's trapped in there, and she's trapped, and when she got to the door, she saw it, finally, she saw that man, and she's knocking and bounding and saying, hey, I'm whatever her name was, and the man said, oh, this lady's been missing, we thought you were dead, and you know, they opened the door and run, but there were still other people in the house that, watch this, she was delivered, but in her mind, she hadn't escaped because there was another group of people that she needed to help, so as they went to the police and they had all those other, now they've escaped and they're never going back because he's in prison. You can be delivered for a time. Sometimes our mind is delivered, but watch this. If you're like me, Hezekiah, if you remember the story, Hezekiah is going to pray and ask a petition of God. And so during Hezekiah's life, he'd been delivered, but remember he gets sick? And Hezekiah is going to die. He said, Lord, just give me some more time. And God says, I'm going to give you a sign. God delivered him, but watch this. He delivered him for that period of time, 15 years or so, but nobody gets to escape death. See how it's a different word? Here's what I want you to gather tonight. The power of God will deliver you, but sometimes in deliverance, bad stuff pops up again. And if you're sick and you're good for 15 years, you're still going to die. Solomon went all throughout all of his land, and Solomon had the most power, the most money, the most women. He had everything, the most wisdom. And Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, after all that, I'm still going to find myself in the grave. I'm still going to die. Rich people, poor people, black people, white people, we all die. It all comes to an end. There is no escaping death. That's why we preach salvation so much. That's why we're aggressively and overly evangelistic as a church, because nobody gets to escape that. But I want you to rely and trust in the fact that God is able to deliver, but in delivery, sometimes things pop back up. You know, sometimes problems back up. You know, I think sometimes in my heart and my life, sometimes I think I've delivered a problem. I've gotten escaped from a problem. I think it's all figured out. And somebody comes to me, I say, okay, that's done. And 3 or 4 months later, it pops back up again. They say, preacher. No. I was delivered for 3 or 4 months, but I wasn't completely escaped. But then sometimes I get complete escape from it because the person gets a complete escape from it. Sometimes, you know, one of the hardest things when you deal with people in recovery and things like that is sometimes they can be delivered for 2 or 3 months or a year or two, but then it pops back up. And once you're an addict, you're always an addict. But then there's those times where it's been 10, 15 years at somebody and you feel like, okay, they've escaped. They're not just delivered. It's not going to pop back up. They're living so well, and they're so out of the way. I think about this sometimes with young people in my life. And when I say young people, I mean people in their early 20s or late teens. And they've been delivered from the temptation because God has provided them a godly man or woman, a relationship. So they're delivered from the things that really ail single folks and things like that at that age with hormones and other things, but then the full escape comes not at the meeting, but the full escape comes at the marriage, at the wedding day. Now you've been delivered from that temptation because now you have a godly, understand what I'm saying, there's young folks in here, so I'm just being, I'm being as vague as possible, but now you've got complete escape from having to worry about that if you do it right. You got complete freedom. You got complete authority from God to not just be delivered, but to escape the diseases and the other possibilities that come with those things. And so it's real important that you see here in Isaiah 20 that Hezekiah, a great king of Israel, man, the Bible actually says in chapter 19, go back and read it, that you're a man that trusted, but you should have also trusted this. Just because you're saved, you trust, but God says you can also trust this. Don't be putting your trust in these politicians. In these powers. Don't put your trust in political parties or affiliations. All these people, we love this party or that party. And I got news for you. You've heard me say it before. You don't need to watch Fox or CNN to figure this out. You can just hear from the preacher. Most of them's rats. Most of them's dirty. Most of them's wrong. And God, he would have me to tell you tonight, stop putting your faith or placing your trust in them because it isn't what's going to deliver you. And the second part of that is, it's surely not going to allow you to escape. I've been living 41 years. I've seen, I don't even know how many presidents. Let's count together. Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Trump, and Biden. So I'm seven presidents in. And you know what I realized? That the Republicans and Democrats are still fighting. We still ain't completely escaped as a nation to be free to where we're all in it together. You know what I've realized? In seven presidents, we still got things going on socially and economically. That was, inflation was a problem back in 2008 under a different administration. It's a problem again now. We had drugs was a problem. Reagan put the war on drugs, on crack, but now we got the war on fentanyl. Listen, you can say what you want to say, but that is not what's going to bring us deliverance, and it surely isn't what's going to bring us escape. Pray to God and pray to his power, not to the political powers, not to the political deliverers or the political, because they're all going to come like wolves in sheep's clothing and say to you, this is what they say. When I become president, we'll stop this, we'll have this, we'll have that. When I become senator, when I become governor, when I become, they all say this. And here's the key to that. They're just people. They can't even promise what they're saying because it takes a vote to do any of that. If you're the president, you still got to rely on the Senate to vote this way. You still got to rely on the Supreme Court to give you the okay for certain things. You don't get to just go up there. This is not a monarchy. You don't get to go up there and just say, I'm signing away. Yeah, they do executive orders and things like this, but they can't just say, you know what, I'm changing this or I'm changing that. No, because you know why? Because God is the authority of all the universe. So you just see that in Isaiah tonight, and we'll continue on with our study next week, and there's more judgments. And I promise you, we got about 18 more chapters of Isaiah Old Testament, and when we get to chapter 40, it kind of takes off, and you start seeing New Testament prophecies, and then it wakes you up, and you're like, oh, because then you start seeing there that stuff that Jesus quoted, and Philip the Ethiopian eunuch, that story, you start seeing a lot of that stuff go on, and so you're kind of like, oh, these middle chapters. You know, I'm a preacher, and I'm being real honest with you. If you don't understand it, it's boring. You'd be reading it look like trigonometry. You'd be like, huh, I don't understand all that. Why I look like that? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you start looking at that, and you'd be like, why geometry? Why are we looking at angles? You know what I'm talking about? Like, I can't do that. But, you know, Brother Chuck, that's what you do, right? Did you know that about your kids, about kids? You know that? When kids are saying, Dad, you know, I think that, you know, I'm always wrong. You just tell them go stand in the corner. It's always right. Anyway, you didn't get it. It's bad. Some of y'all math. Never mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and end the night. Father God, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for the Awana ministry and for these folks and their hearts. Lord, we leave this Sunday out of your house, Lord, with an opportunity to pray, with an opportunity to give you glory, honor, Lord, to do business with you. Father, a pretty hometown crowd tonight, but maybe there's someone in this room that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, and they need complete deliverance and complete escape and complete opportunity and completely free from their sin. It's very hard for us to understand that that can happen. When we're sinners, we understand how messed up we are, but let me tell you today, Jesus Christ is able to not just deliver you from your sin, but to give you full escape, that it never returns. You'll never, ever have to worry about it again. We want to give you that message tonight. As the music begins to play, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here tonight, you say, Pastor Bryson, I don't have that peace. I'm not fully aware of how to be not just delivered, but to have escape from sin. And tonight, this part is for you. Jesus Christ came to the earth as a man, but also God. He's fully both. And he did that. The Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did that for you, personally. He did that for me, personally. And because of his great power, the power to deliver and the power to provide a way for escape, he devised a plan. His Father, and he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, to come and find the sinner. He says, those who are sick are the ones that are in need of a physician, not the ones who are well. He came to find the sin sick, If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've made mistakes, I've sinned, then Jesus is talking to you tonight, seeking you, and he wants you to know that he loves you. And because he loves you, he took your sin upon him. He took your place where you deserve to die and spend eternity in the devil's hell. Jesus said, no, I'll die for you because I have the power to defeat death, hell, and the grave and my death and resurrection. It's called the gospel. It's the good news. It's the greatest news of all time. There's much debate over who's the GOAT, the greatest of all time. There's no debate. Jesus Christ is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And that greatest of all time says to you today, I can save your soul through your belief and your repentance. If you'll accept me and accept the gospel that I did die to pay for your sins, that I did raise the third day according to the scriptures, and because of that belief, it would affect your behavior to turn, repent from sin and self and turn and follow me in righteousness, then I can promise you today, you probably won't live the rest of your life sinless, but you will begin to sin less. If that's you tonight, you say, Pastor, I need to be saved. Whether you're watching online or here in this room, would you just signify that tonight you need to be saved? I'm not going to come to your seat or call on your name. If you would just signify by looking at me with your eyes all over the room here, if anybody here tonight, if you just see that, yep, I see that one. Thank you. Anybody else like that tonight to just raise their hand or open their eyes towards me and just say, you know, I'm not sure or I know I'm not. Anybody else like that tonight? Praise God. Christian, what are you trusting God for today? Are you trusting him for the power to deliver and the power of escape? Sometimes that thorn is going to stay and remain in your flesh, in your side, but you can be delivered from it for a time. But God's also able, if he wants, to give you full escape and full peace from it. I pray tonight, as we go into Labor Day weekend for safety, travels and safety and being together and gathering. Lord, we ask tonight that you would have this one who's come to say, I need to be saved, that they might walk the aisle. It's just music, no singing tonight, that they might walk the aisle in a moment. And I'll be standing right here. They would come to me and we can show them from the Bible. Men with men, ladies with ladies, right here, right now. And God instantaneously can save your soul and give you full escape from all sin, from death, hell, and the grave. Father, I pray that you convict them tonight that they might come. Maybe you're here tonight and you want to join Assurance Baptist Church or be scripturally baptized. All those decisions can be made right here, right now in this time of invitation and appeal. Let's do business with the Lord. Lord, have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you need to come pray tonight, if you need to be saved tonight, whatever it is, let's do business. You come.